Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guest I am a huge fan of. This guy is just killing it right now. You can't really turn on the radio without hearing his voice. He's a two-time Grammy Award winner, multiple platinum artist. I'm talking about Mr. Ed Sheeran.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be here. I've heard your podcast with Mr. T and Macklemore, and I can't believe I'm on it right now. So thank you.
Thank you again for coming, Ed. I know it's a little bit of a hike for you. Do you spend most of your time out in England, or are you living in the States now?
I actually spend most of my time in Britain. I don't come to the U.S. too much, to tell you the truth, just because it's... I feel like people don't really get me here in the U.S., you know what I mean? Like, they get my music, but they don't get who I am, you know what I mean? So I have problems connecting with Americans.
Well, you have problems connecting with Americans. What do you mean by that? Do you feel like Americans have different values from you?
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. I mean, I don't want to get political in any way, but, I mean, Britain would never elect someone like Trump. And I'm not saying that I don't want to get political with it, but I don't even want to be... I feel horrible saying this even. I just want to be completely honest with the fact that when I come here, I feel like I'm not welcomed here. And
in the United States?
That's exactly. And, you know, it's great to have the awards, and I appreciate the stardom and the fame. But ultimately, I want to get right back to Britain where I feel at home. You know what I mean? Because, you know, in Britain, people are just dry and sincere and honest with how they live life. You know what I mean?
I totally understand.
And I'm not trying to stereotype all Americans anyway. And you're one of the few good ones that I've really connected with. So I appreciate you again.
So, you're here in the United States now.
Right now, yes.
Yeah. You're just coming off your most recent album, Divide.
Yep.
Which is killing it right now. The Shape of You, you really can't turn on the radio without hearing The Shape of You. It's doing great.
Oh,
you're probably going to be up for some more Grammys.
Oh, I appreciate that, Aaron. Thanks
so much. I mean, how does it feel to be so successful?
Oh, my God. I mean, when you're successful, imagine having a... Do you have a dream, Aaron?
Of course. I mean... My dream is to one day become like a real radio host. I think
you don't think you're a real radio host right now.
You're cheating
on yourself right now, Aaron. Come on, I think you're a real radio host.
I do host the show out of my apartment.
But your voice is so radio like. I mean, honestly, I would hire you on as a radio host immediately. I mean, if you want a job with me on tour, then
wow,
let me know. And that's what it is. I mean, you ask about what success is. I mean, imagine being the radio host that you want to be. I mean, what does that look like to you, Aaron?
I've always dreamed of, like, having my own NPR show, like, doing a little investigative kind of journalism.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I also kind of want to be able to make people, like, learn something, find the deeper truth in where we are, you know?
Absolutely. And you dig deep, right?
Of course.
You're a digger of deepness. And I feel, for me, my success is being realized for really the first time in my life. And, I mean, the feeling of being able to go on stage and rock out with lyrics and hearing your fans say your words, I mean, it's unimaginable, indescribable. And I know I shit on Americans earlier, and it's not, again, not because I don't like an individual person. When I look out, it doesn't matter where you're from. You're from Africa, you're from America, Britain, doesn't matter. To be on stage and to be singing The Shape of You and to hear the audience singing that back, I mean, it's electrifying, it's powerful, and honestly, it's beautiful. So to answer your question, I mean, how does success feel? I mean, it feels like I've gone to sleep and I'm dreaming and I haven't woken up yet, and I hope I never will.
Oh, I mean, I can't imagine having that kind of success.
Yeah, well, I want to stop you right there, Aaron. You have to imagine having that kind of success if you're going to have it. And that's what the song The Shape of You is all about. You have to understand what the shape of you is. What does Aaron, when he takes form, what does that look like? You have to be able to imagine that. I'm also a motivational coach on the side, so that's a lot of work.
So The Shape of You is more of a metaphor, you would say?
Absolutely, it's the shape of yourself.
Because it's come under fire as being, the lyrics being a little misogynistic.
In what way? Can you describe that, please?
Well, your the chorus is, I'm in love with the shape of you, I'm in love with your body.
Yes, absolutely. And that basically means the love of a person's body. Like, you tell me a dream, that's what the shape of your body takes, and you follow that all the way. And I love that about a person. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you know? And if you know, if that's taken a misogynistic way, I apologize to any women out there. Just on a romantic sense, I mean, if I were to drill down into that a little bit, I mean, I do love the shape of a woman. I mean, I don't think that that's so misogynistic.
But what do you say to people that, like, criticize you for being, like, overconfident?
Oh.
That, because...
Overconfident? What do you mean by that?
People tend to judge you for, like, not being the most handsome of gentlemen in the music industry. Not my words.
Physically handsome?
Yeah, physically handsome. I mean...
Okay.
Why
am I not physically...
I mean, I'm not the one
to judge.
Do you
think I'm handsome, man? Am I a handsome man?
I think you're a plenty handsome man.
Okay, well then.
But, I mean... This is radio. Our audience can't really see you unless they look up a picture of you on their phone.
Sure, of course.
So, I mean, you've come under fire about this. I mean,
about not being handsome enough.
Yeah.
And being overconfident. And that's the thing. I mean, these critics, can I explain this? These critics that say that I'm too confident for how ugly I am. I mean, I want to flip that on its head and tell these critics that not just beautiful people can be confident. You know, I like to think that I'm the face of ugly people everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm a not handsome man rocking out and winning 2 Grammys, and so be it. I mean, it's the same thing with Adele rocking her thing and people calling her overweight. An overweight woman can't sing. I mean, give me a break. Come on. I mean, you just have to believe in yourself. This all goes back to the shape of you, Aaron. What is the shape of you?
Oh.
And I say, you know, screw the critics. And I bet these are American critics, by the way.
Some of them, yes. I mean, some of them are just women that have been offended by your lyrics.
By how ugly I am?
Yes, no, I mean...
Can I tell you something? I have grown up always being the ugly, ugly man of my school, you know? Women wouldn't date me, you know? I remember I had the biggest, biggest crush on Shelley Kirkstein. And Shelley Kirkstein was the hot girl of the school. We all had a hot girl at our school.
Oh, of course.
She happened to be ours, and... She looked at me. I guess I should back up. I had mustered up the confidence to actually ask her out on a date. And when I did, she looked at me dead in my eyes and said, I would never, ever date a pathetic, ugly fuck as you. She said that to me.
Oh,
and my heart crumbled.
That's terrible.
My heart crumbled. And,
yeah,
and listen to me, Aaron. I understand. And she followed that up by saying, how dare you, someone who looks like you, ask me out, someone who looks like me. And I remember that, and I keep that in me, and the pain that I feel. And so, yes, when these beautiful women criticize me for saying that I shouldn't be talking about how good-looking they are because I'm an ugly person, well, you know what? I consider it my vengeance.
Okay, so this is very much influenced your music.
Absolutely. 100%.
Do you feel like you're fighting an upward battle that, like, Hollywood and the music industry, they're still, like, very superficial?
Am I finding enough about it because they're superficial? Of course, Aaron. I mean, come on. I mean, you're a model, right? You model. You understand what it's like.
I mean,
you're a good-looking man.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice.
I mean, what's the battle for you? Think of it. You're very good. I would say you're much better looking than I am. But do you still face that materialism of Hollywood in yourself?
Oh, I mean, I'm just trying to get my voice heard. You know, I want our audience to spread the word, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, I'm hoping that, you know, one day, like, this is going to be a big thing, you know?
Oh, this podcast?
This podcast.
Oh, it's going to be huge, Aaron. I mean, the shape of this podcast for me is going to take on a gigantic, magnanimous shape. And if you believe in yourself, then it will become that. And so, yes, is Hollywood going to look at you, Aaron, and say you're bullshit and you're a hack? Of course. That's how Hollywood is. But I would say this. You're going to get so much rejection over and over and over. You're not talented enough. You're not good looking enough. You're a misogynist. You talk about women in creepy ways. You know, you're going to hear all of that all the time, constantly. But you know what? I say fuck all those critics and go for it anyway.
Wow. I mean... That got me really pumped.
Good. And as I said before, I'm also a life coach on the side, so.
So, are you, is that the next step for you? Cause,
what's that?
Well, the way you title your albums, you have, Plus.
Plus, yep.
You have, you kind of released Plus and Minus at the same time.
Right.
Then you have Multiply.
Yep.
And you just released Divide.
Yep.
What's next?
I'm going to, the next one I'd probably say is, Integral.
Integral
would be my next album, and if you're familiar with integrals, it's basically taking the parabola and dividing it by the cosine of the sine wave. And for me, that's another metaphor for capturing everything underneath the line. You know, we have everything above the line, right? And above the line, I would say, are the materialistic things on this planet: money, fame, wealth. Underneath the line is underneath you, Aaron, and who you are. And so I would say integral is taking the integration of who you are and making that pop and be alive.
I guess my main question here is why math? Why title each of your albums as like a math term? I mean, is there a math to your music?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, music is math. Math is music. I mean, you see this machine beat maker right there, right? Underneath the, you're a beat maker yourself. So, I mean, think about making a beat. You have to be on time. Think about the beats per minute. You have to think about how all of those, the timing works, right? If you're off beat, you're off time. If you're off time, you're off math. So being mathematical is being musical. Do you have to be an Einstein to make music? Of course not. But is our universe correlated with math and science? Of course. And music goes along with that. And I would say that my music, if you were to boil it down into formulas, would be the most perfect Einsteinian formula. All my songs, if you listen to them, actually follow a particular syncopation that you can basically plug into a formula, which gives you the formula of life.
A formula of life, right, not just the formula of what makes a good song.
Both. I mean, Aaron, think about it. I mean, I've got add, I've got divide, I've got subtract, I've got all of my math albums, and once I release Integral, it's going to be the complete formula. And if you can decipher the formula, you can decipher happiness. And if you can listen to the songs, I believe that that brings perfect happiness. A perfect song.
Oh. I guess what I was trying to get at with math thing is a lot of youth today find math boring.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean,
so you wouldn't name it like a math term, just like turn off people who want to listen but don't like math.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, honestly, with the youth not being into math, do you like my music?
Yeah, I love your music.
When you heard math, did you think, oh, math? Add. What the fuck is that? Did you think that?
I mean, what I really admire about your music is the fact that you're able to do so much on your own. You had a whole tour where you were the only person on stage. Like, you didn't have a backup band. It was just you and an acoustic guitar and your loop pedal.
Well, my man. And the thing, I can't work with people. I cannot work with people. I have a vision that only I can see, right? And if you can't see what I can see, then in my opinion, get the fuck off my boat. You know, get off the Ed Sheeran boat. Because if you have a dream, going back to that, then you need to follow that despite the fact that no one else can see it. So I say fuck playing with other people. I say do your own thing despite the fact that people are going to try to reject you and trying to stop you. And for me, I was in a high school band. It was me, it was three other people. It was Leroy, Georgie G, and Philip Q. And we were tight. But I started to have more talent than them. You know, I was fucking more women than them.
Oh.
I was getting my dick sucked more.
Oh, wow.
Then I started, you know, making music about that. They were calling me misogynistic. I said, fuck them. I'm going to do my own thing. And then from there, that's where I started receiving the most success, when I said, screw everybody. So, yeah. And I will continue to be a one-man band until I die.
Oh, wow. So you had your first, like, big break when you started touring and opening for Taylor Swift. Uh-huh. What have you learned from Taylor Swift?
Oh, Taylor Swift has taught me quite a few things. I mean, Taylor Swift is someone who is in herself, I believe, an angel of greatness. Now, I'll tell you three main things she's taught me. The first thing she taught me is no regrets. No regrets. That's the first thing she's told me. Taylor Swift has told me that she's done so many stupid, horrible things, and but of all those things, it's what's made her who she is, and she has no regrets about anything. And that, for me, has stuck with me as a musician because, you know, I do stupid, horrible things all the time.
Oh, well, like, what kind of stupid, horrible things?
Oh, have I done?
You said you live without regret. No, you. I mean, yeah. Taylor Swift, hopefully, if she's listening out there, we can get her on the show sometime soon. Yeah, yeah.
What stupid things have I done? Oh my god, Evan, the list goes on and on. I mean,
I know crazy things happen on tour and such.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But is it all, like, tour stories, or is there, like, things that are a little bit, you know, darker?
Oh, you want the dark stuff, Aaron. I see what you're saying. You want to get into it.
You do tend to have darker lyrics when they aren't about, you know, being in love with a woman. They're about someone shooting up heroin, so...
Give me an example of a dark... If you can, I don't want to put you on the spot. Give me an example of a dark lyric, and I will tell you the experience that is associated with.
Oh, okay. Well, your first hit, the song A-Team.
A-Team, yep.
It's about a woman
yep.
who's whoring herself out
mm-hmm.
to get money for drugs.
Do I use the word whore, by the way?
You said sells love to another man.
Okay, just making sure I didn't say
that. Your words are not mine.
I'm sorry to our listeners.
I'm all in favor of sex working, and I mean,
two thumbs up to sex working. But go on.
It's really sad, you know. It's
about the woman selling her love.
Yeah.
So my experience.
She sells love to another man, mm-hmm. you know, for a couple grams,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the lyric finishes. It's too cold outside for angels to fly. It's just really sad, you know?
And that experience is about me. I'm the one who actually paid money for that woman of the night, and I remember it very, very crystal clearly.
Oh.
Did you want to hear the story?
I just didn't know it was going in this direction.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wanted the dark stuff.
Go right ahead.
All my songs are based off of actual experiences, Aaron, right? So I wouldn't just make things up on the fly like that. I mean, they're all based on experiences that, again, learning from Taylor Swift, no regrets. Again, I have two other things I learned from her. We're just going on the first lesson right now that I learned from her. But I remember it was a cold, cold, lonely night in Yorkshire. And Mr. Sheeran... I had just gotten dumped, and I was, you know, I was hating life. You know when you get dumped by the love of your life, and you're just feeling ripped apart?
Oh, of course.
So I walked outside, and there's a part in Yorkshire called the Pussy District, and not my words at all, that's just what it's called, and I mean no offense when I say that to anybody, but so I go to the Pussy District, and I meet this woman, she called herself Cinnamon, and Cinnamon was... beautiful. She was wonderful, and I ended up taking her back, not to an hotel, but to my place, and we had the most glorious, wonderful night together, and we shared so much passion and love, and ultimately, I didn't have any money to pay her, because all my money, I mean, it's so stocked up in credit, you know, Aaron, and she said, that's okay, do you have cocaine, which I have copious amounts of, and I said, of course, would 2 grams work, and she said, absolutely, and, then she asked, you know, can I see you again? I said, of course not. You're a dirty whore, and I would never, ever see you. And that was the end of it.
Mm. That is not how I expected that story to end. Actually, I might have actually expected that way to end.
Oh. That was what that song was based off about, and I... You know, yeah, and do I regret that, Aaron? You know, I still think of Cinnamon in fond ways, but no regrets. And I... Honestly, all these... experiences of what muses my music.
I guess so. I'm just wondering where to go from that, because that was such a downer.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I mean, we can keep going down to the dark. You wanted the dark stuff.
Do you have any more mischievous stories that
Absolutely.
Okay. That you still live without regret.
Oh, like, just more fun things, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, if you want to tell me another lyric from a song, I'll tell you exactly where the experience came from.
The greatest with your lyrics, I have to say.
That's okay, that's alright.
Because, you do...
My lyrics are shit anyway. Well, you should... The thing with my lyrics is, honestly, they're all bullshit.
Really?
I think so. I mean,
you just said they come from true stories.
Yeah, but they're also bullshit. You know, I think you have to have the yin and the yang. You have to have the truth of the bullshit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I think when you listen to my music, there's both the realness and the bullshit. And so I would say that the fact that you don't know my lyrics is quite all right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want
to... I mean, I just really enjoy your musicality. Like, you have a lot of dynamic to your music. You tend to sing in your falsetto.
I love singing in falsetto.
Yeah?
I love it. Don't you love falsetto, Aaron?
I'm not the greatest in singing it.
Really?
No. It's one of the things, like, in another life, in an earlier life of mine, I tried to pursue singing, and it just wasn't, like, up to par to, like, the pros like yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you want to jam right now, I'll jam with you.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to go falsetto right now together, we can do a duet falsetto. I'll do anything you want, Aaron.
Could you break us off a little something you've been working on?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You want me to, I see you have a guitar here. Should I pull it out and see if I can,
It's actually a bass guitar.
Oh, never
it's
mind.
No, I wish it was, an actual, I play acoustic bass. But anyways,
You know what? You could play the acoustic bass and I'll just sing to that.
Oh, sure.
How about that?
All right.
And I'll sing the lyrics over whatever you want to play.
All right, I'm gonna go back. All right, I got my bass.
Okay.
I'm just gonna do something real simple.
Oh, please, yeah.
Feel your lips next to mine. We get down every time.
That was interesting.
I appreciate that. And when you say interesting, I mean, I don't know if that's a...
That didn't seem like your normal... I mean...
It's new. It's going to be completely new. I think being an artist, you have to completely revamp yourself every time. I mean, so the Beatles, every time they came out with a new album, I mean, especially towards the later years, it was always completely different and original and unique, and you've got to take those chances as an artist, Aaron, you know?
So,
I might start rapping, you know? I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, you do tend to rap on your albums.
Exactly. I might make just a pure all-rap album. I would do that, Aaron.
Like pure hip-hop?
Oh, pure hip-hop.
Yeah, because, I mean, you do have hip-hop elements. You do rap quite a bit in your songs.
Absolutely.
I know...
You're a rapper too, right, Aaron?
Wow, you are putting me on the spot today.
I'm just saying, if you want to rap together, I can even rap. I want you to find your shape as well, Aaron. That's what I'm all about.
Because, I mean, even the Shape of You is kind of a rap, you know, that song.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in love with the shape of you.
Uh-huh.
I'm in love with your body. Oh, hey, oh, hey. I'm in love with your body. Yeah, that's you. That's your song.
What I'm saying is, I'm toying with the idea of making a pure hip hop album as well. I would do it.
I mean, if I throw down a beat for you, will you break us off something?
100%.
All right.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. Uh huh. All right. Yeah. My name is Ed. I don't give a fuck about the beds in my bug, cause I'm about to get down with the love, cause I know I'm about to be the hubcapping, cause I'm slapping all these people trying to tell me that I'm handsome, cause I'm about to get down, cause I got that ransom, cause I never give a fuck, cause I'm crimson, bitch, I'm platinum, cause I fucking got them albums, never gonna stop, cause I'm selling them, bitch, you know I'm handsome now, because I never stop, why, about to get down, cause I do not give a fuck, yo, I'm about to tell it good, bitch, and tell me that I don't give a fuck about scratching that itch. Watch me go, watch me flow. Y'all bitches already know I'm with my boy Aaron. That's what I'm saying. He's beatboxing, never stopping. Man, we fucking keeping it hot. Then we gonna keep going all night and never gonna stop, cause we don't feel the fright. No fear, man. Look over here, man. I'm drinking that beer, man, cause I know I'm getting weird. Something like that. I don't know. I mean, you know, that was made up on the spot.
That was fun. Excuse my audiences. I'm sorry I'm not the greatest beatboxer out there.
I loved it. You know, you're not the shittiest beatboxer.
I did fall off tempo in a few places, and I was like, oh no, I'm losing it because I got so lost in your lyrics.
That's what I do to people. And let me tell you this, Aaron. You know, You're not the shittiest beatboxer, and I've heard worse.
Who? Anyone we would know?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't want to blow up anyone's spot necessarily. You know who's weirdly a bad beatboxer? Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. And I love the man. I get high with him all the time. I love smoking up with Snoop Dogg. I mean, he can flow like a beast, but his beatboxing is awful. I mean, it's basically him just kind of dribbling all over himself. But it's still great to rock on with, you know.
Wow.
You're a better beatboxer than Snoop Dogg, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to put that on my resume now.
Absolutely. And honestly, if you want to go on tour with me beatboxing, not saying yes to that, but opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, like, intrude on your one-man show,
absolutely,
though.
Yeah. As long as you did what I said and you were okay with that, then we'd be okay.
Okay. Because I know you a lot of times beatbox for yourself. You, like, beatbox and loop it, and then you go and do your guitar thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a RC500 loop machine, and so that's kind of what I use to make the loops go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to jump ahead. We're going to go into some speed questions, if you don't mind.
I would love some speed questions.
All right. So I don't know if you ever played the game Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm going to read three names.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put each of them into those categories.
That sounds perfect.
All right. First name, John Mayer. Second name, Taylor Swift. Third name, the band Train.
All right. I would fuck a train, the band Train, because the idea of having a train run on me by the band Train sounds wonderful. And I would like all members to fuck me as hard as they could. And so that's why I would want Train to fuck me. As far as I would marry John Mayer, because I think he gets me as a person. John Mayer and I, we've had our, you know, his big song, My Body is a Wonderland. It was about my body, actually. And so,
oh, wow.
And it's not just a physical thing, it's an emotional thing. So John Mayer and I have a very, very intimate connection. I would marry John Mayer, and then I would, even though I've learned so much from Taylor Swift, I would kill her because I'm so goddamn jealous of her success.
Oh, I mean, you could overtake that throne that she has right now in music, you know?
If I killed her? Absolutely.
I'd
slit her. No, I don't want to.
That sounds a little...
I don't want to talk about how I'd kill her.
You're going back into the bummer
range.
I'm
sorry. I didn't mean to. I was just thinking about how I'd go about killing her. And I'd have to... you know, I'd want to do it in like a... I'd do it in a fun zany way.
Fun zany
yes.
way. All right. I'm going to move into some word association. Basically, I'm going to say a word, and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Rap.
Myself.
Out loud.
Out soft.
Lazy.
Motherfucker.
Hazy.
Smoking up with Snoop Dogg.
Unkept.
My hair.
Messy.
Like a big vagina.
Music.
Is in my heart.
Ginger.
Ale.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners before you head out?
I just want to say, if I said anything that potentially offended anybody, it's not because I wanted to offend anybody. It's more because I'm just speaking my honest truth. And I want everyone to know that I love them. And I hope that you love my music just as much as I love you. And yes, watch out for Integral coming out in 2 months.
All right. Thank you again for stopping in, Ed. It has been awesome. And we will see you all next time. Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having Ed Sheeran here, it's actually been my friend Michael Bird.
Hello, I didn't know who Ed Sheeran was at all, so I hope I did okay for you, Aaron. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I guess... You want me to plug?
Well, you got anything to plug?
The main thing I'm working on right now is a solo show called Bird and Friends, where I go on stage and I let anyone in the audience jump on stage with me at any time. And so I've been running that show out of the Triple Crown on Sundays at 7 p.m., but I also get invited to do other people's shows as well. So I really love that show because I never know what's going to happen and who's going to jump on stage. And it's always crazy and fun.
Awesome. I'd like to thank the artist Regulus for the use of our theme music. It's his song Yarning. He's on SoundCloud. Go check him out. I'd also like to ask you all, if you're enjoying this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Give us a review. I'll even read them before the show.
So go do that. It helps us with visibility and it helps more people find the show. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.